We've entitled our message today, After a Long Time. After a Long Time. If you read the last portion of Matthew chapter number 24 and then read Matthew chapter 25, we're introduced to three parables, three contrasts, three lessons, and three admonitions. In verses chapter 24, verses 45 through 51, we're introduced to obedience and disobedience. If you look there, you find the obedient one is the one who is so doing when his Lord cometh. The disobedient one is the one that saith, "My Lord delayeth his coming." And he begins to smite his fellow servants and be drunken. Secondly, in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, we're not only introduced to the contrast of obedience and disobedience, we're introduced to the contrast of wise and foolish. In the parable of the 10 virgins, where the wise were the ones that had oil in their lamps, and the foolish had not oil in their lamps. By the way, a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit. It's the wise one who gets saved when the Lord speaks to him about getting saved. Amen? The foolish one says, I'll do that later. One day the Lord's going to sound his trumpet and take his children home, and the wise will be taken and the foolish will be left behind. But the third parable that we look at this morning is the one we'll focus much of our attention on. It's not only obedience and disobedience contrast. It's not only a contrast of the wise and the foolish, but it's a contrast of the profitable and the unprofitable servants. All this brings us to the idea of the admonitions. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? We should love His appearing. Amen? The Bible talks about that. Paul said when he gave his final address, he said, "I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all those that love His appearing." How we ought to love His appearing. You know what else we should do? We should look for His appearing. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, that the Lord, He's going to appear without sin unto all those that look for His appearing. We ought to look for His appearing. We ought to love His appearing. You know what else we ought to do? Verse 46 tells us of Matthew 24, we ought to labor faithfully until His appearing. "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Amen. We ought to be laboring till the day Jesus takes us home. Now, again, I know we have some folks, maybe you can't labor like you did once in the day when you had all your physical strength in your 20s and 30s. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, there is no retirement in the Christian army. Amen. Nobody gets put out to pasture. Amen. When the Lord calls us home, that's when we go. As the old evangelist B.R. Lakin used to say, someone asked him, "Dr. Lakin, are you going to retire?" He said, "Yes, I am. I'm going to get four new tires and I'm going to keep driving. That's the only retiring I do." Amen. Hey, listen, we're supposed to keep going, laboring. I want to hear those words, "Blessed, blessed, blessed art thou. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Hey, to do that, we got to keep laboring. We got to look for Him. We got to love His appearing. We have what's before us here is what's commonly called the parable of the talents. And Jesus spoke many things in parables. The simplest definition, if I've ever heard of a parable is an earthly story communicating a divine truth. An earthly story communicating a divine truth. And there are several truths that we'll be looking at today. But what is the main focus and thrust? What is the main truth that our Lord is trying to get across in this parable? Well, it's the idea of stewardship. Stewardship. And we're going to look at that. Look, if you would, number one, first of all, at the Master. Let's look at the Master, if we could, in verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country." This Master, this man, this giver of the steward, giver of the talents, and this owner of these servants here, he was getting ready to travel on a journey. You know, Jesus, as he was having that final bread breaking with his disciples, as they had the Last Supper, and we're going to observe communion tonight. But as they had the Last Supper, he said to them, "I go away. I'm getting ready to leave." Matter of fact, he said, when he told them that, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to go away for a little while." But then, praise the Lord, he said this, "And if I go away, I'll send you another Comforter, that he will abide with you forever." Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen? Amen. But this Master, he was traveling on a journey. And it says there also in verse number 14, it says, "He called his own servants." He called his own servants. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whom the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." You know, a shepherd has a very unique way of calling their sheep. But it's known to the sheep. You could have two people, one shepherd of one flock and one shepherd of another flock. One shepherd will call, his own sheep will come unto him. That other shepherd will call, his own sheep will come to him. Listen, Jesus said this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Here we find a Master that's traveling on a journey, and he calleth his own servants, and he delivered his goods to them. Look there in verse 14. It says, "And he delivered unto them his goods." The book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, tells us what the Master, before he traveled on the journey, had given to the church. He said this, "There is one body. And there is one Spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling, and one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, He that ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." God has endowed each of us with gifts. Just as the Master, before he traveled on the journey, he delivered unto them his goods. Let's not only look at the Master this morning, but number two, if you would, look at the servants. Look at the servants. In verse 14, it says, "He calleth his own servants and delivereth unto them his goods." Can we say this? Each servant belonged to the Master. We'll look at the end of this parable in just a few minutes, and many have used this as a works-based salvation instance looking at the parable. I do not believe that. First of all, I don't believe in a works-based salvation. Amen. You're either saved by grace or you're not saved. Either God did it all or God didn't do any of it. Amen. You can't help yourself to salvation. All our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6 says. But each one belonged to the Master. If you notice in verse 15, each one was different. It says there, "And unto the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Every man according to his several ability. God knows, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I've heard people sing, I've heard people preach, I've seen the way certain people can do certain things, and I'm amazed. Sometimes, I know this never happens to you, but I can just do a little confessing here. Sometimes I'll hear somebody do something, or I'll watch somebody be able to do something, I get a little jealous. But then I realized, all God's servants are different. It's supposed to be that way. 1 Corinthians 12 does the best example of telling us that we are a body. And a body is not just one gigantic eye or one gigantic ear. Amen? It needs fingers, it needs toes, it needs a heartbeat, it needs veins, need eyes, need ears, everything. All the body works together. He says here, each one is different. Something else, verse 15. Each of the servants, that's us, ladies and gentlemen, each of the servants was responsible for what the master had given to them. Amen? Each one of us is responsible for the talents, the gifts, the abilities that the master has given to us. We're responsible to God for those. Something else. Each was given the freedom with the responsibility given them to the master to do what they wished with the talents. Look at verses 15 and 16. Or verse 16, it says, then he that received five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that received two also gained another two. But he that received one went and digged in the earth. Listen, God gives us freedom to bring him glory or to not bring him glory. He gives us that freedom. Listen, if you have a talent for God, God wants you to use it and wants you to use it in this church. Amen. Amen. I don't make any apology for saying that. God, see, this is God put us together. Everything we need to build the church is right here. Right here. So we see the servants. We see the master. Thirdly, we see the talents in verse 15. And unto the one he gave five talents. And to another, two. To another, one. What are these talents? Well, the actual literal talents are these. It was one of two items. It was either a 100-pound talent weight or a 200-pound talent weight. If it was a 100-pound silver talent, today it would be worth about $50,000. If it was a 100-pound gold talent, it would be worth $1.5 million. If it was a 200-pound silver talent, it would be worth $100,000. If it was a 200-pound gold talent, it would be worth $3 million. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is why if you'll go back just a few chapters in your Bible and you'll see that unforgiving servant who came and owed a debt of 10,000 talents and he fell down at his master's feet and said, forgive me and I will pay thee all. I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, he could have never paid that off. Why? Number one, he was a servant. He belonged to a master. That means he didn't have any wealth of his own. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that debt of 10,000 talents is a picture of our sin debt. That no matter how hard we work, no matter how many lifetimes we live, we could never get it paid. Here they come and he delivers unto this one. We'll just use the 100-pound gold as an example. Gives the first one $7.5 million and says, do with it what you will. Gives to the second one $3 million and says, do with it what you will. Gives to the third one $1.5 million. Can we say that each of these is given by the Master? James chapter 1 verse 17 tells us that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's God that gives us the gifts we possess. It's God that gives you your abilities to work your job and make money for your family. It's God that gives you all that, the brain power, amen? But something else, When we look at the talents, we not only see that they're given by the master, they're given to each based on their ability. Verse number 15 says in the middle, to every man according to his several ability. You know what that means? If you can't sing, it's okay. God didn't give you a Pavarotti voice. Amen. That's okay. He gives to every man as he will according to their ability. The talents, the servants, the master. Number four, look if you would at the journey. The journey. It says there in the title of our message today, we took it out of verse 19, after a long time. We see the master gone away on his journey. See, we live in something, ladies and gentlemen, called, for those of us that believe in dispensational theology, we live in something called the church age. When Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus has been gone for almost 2,000 years. He's been on that journey, and He expects this. He expects His servants to be multiplying, to be increasing with the talents that He has given to them. You see, during this journey that the master was away, this man that had been given 5 talents increased 5 more to 10. The one that had been given 2 talents, and remember, it was based on their ability. God didn't trust the 2-talent person with 5. Amen. You see that? See, God knows what we can handle. Amen. God knows what we can take. That 2, that person that received 2, he was also faithful. He multiplied it to 4. But that singular man, that singular servant, he didn't realize multiplication. 1 times 0 is 0. And so he buried it in the earth. Look, if you would, at verse number 19 again. The master, the servants, the talents, the journey, the return. It says there, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. You know, the master was gone for a long time. But the master said he would return, and he did return. Amen? Jesus has been gone for almost 2,000 years, ladies and gentlemen. He said he would return, and he will. Acts chapter 1, as the apostles watched him ascending out, and those 2 men came to him in white apparel, said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus whom you say taken away from you shall come again in like manner as you've seen him go. He will come back, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Then the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Many scoff at His coming. They say, well, 2 Peter chapter 3, where's the promise of His coming? Why didn't He come back? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there have always been scoffers. There were scoffers at the first coming of Jesus, and there are scoffers at the second coming of Jesus. But can I tell you what is more distressing than those that scoff at the coming of Jesus? Is many servants do not really believe that the Master will return. They're like that servant who buries their talent in the earth. They're like that servant in Matthew 24 that says, my Lord delayeth His coming. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, He could come back, and He could come back right now. You're either doing what God wants you to do, or you're burying that talent. See, we're supposed to be increasing the return. Verse 19, we see the accounting. Look what it says there. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So, ladies and gentlemen, the reason I believe that even this unprofitable servant didn't go to hell is because the servants will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 speaks of something called the judgment seat of Christ. Where, thank God, ladies and gentlemen, we'll not give account for our sins. For the wages of sin is death. And death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. This is the second death. You see, if you ever had to give an account for one sin, you'd have to die and go to hell. But Jesus Christ gave account for all your sins if you're saved. See, these servants, the Master called them and He reckoned with them. He said, all right, I want to know what you did with what I gave you. See, He called each servant to give an account. Friend, your wife's not giving an account for you. Your mama's not going to give an account for you. Your daddy's not going to give an account for you. You're going to give an account of yourself to the Master. With what He gave to you. Not with what He gave to your neighbor. Not with what He gave to your youth pastor. Not with what He gave to the deacons. What He gave to you. He calls each one to give an account. And each servant will give an account for what they were given. Can I say this too, according to verse 27? Each servant is expected to show gain. Gain. Look, if you would, at verse number 27. Here, we'll look at this in just a moment, but he says there, thou oughtest therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. He's talking to the one talent man. He says, you should have just given it to the bank. And I'd at least had some interest when I came back. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate each one in this church that is faithful to the house of God. Amen? You can't do anything until you really get faithful to the house of God. Just how the Lord bless. I appreciate those who tithe, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Listen, God expects gain. He expects us to use what we have for Him. It's not enough to just sit sour and soak. Amen? Amen. We're supposed to be increasing. We're supposed to be producing. God is going to demand that at the judgment seat of Christ. We see the reward, number 7. Not only the accounting, the return, the journey, the talents, the servants, the master. We see the reward in verses 20 through 23. And of course, we know there, the master commended both and rewarded both of the faithful servants equally. You see, if you're a 2-talent Christian and you increase 2 talents, God's going to reward you. Amen. If you're a 5-talent Christian and you've increased 5 talents, God's going to reward you. See, God's fair. I always think of that in tithing, how fair God is. Amen? Tithing is fair. If you make a dollar, God expects a dime. If you make $1 million, God expects $100,000. And the man who gives $99,000 when he's a millionaire is, he is out of the will of God. And the man who gives a dime when he makes a dollar is in the will of God. God's fair. See here, the faithful's reward, they're commended both and rewarded both the same. Why? And I'll tell you why, is the master's distribution. You see, it's God that gives us our gifts. So He didn't look at the one and say, I gave you 2, but you didn't make 5. No. He said, I gave you 2, you made 2 more. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I gave you 5, you made 5 more. The accounting, the reward. Look at the excuses in verse 20, 24, 25. It says, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, thou hast that is thine. You know, really there were 2 excuses here. He blamed the master's hard disposition. But really, it all stemmed from one thing. Fear. Let me say this, church. It's fear that keeps most Christians from doing what they know they should do and what they ought to do. It's fear. It's just fear. Fear of what they're going to say. Fear of making a fool of themselves. Fear of this, that, this, that. It's a scarecrow. That's what fear is. It's a scarecrow. You know what a scarecrow does? Is it scares away the crows. Listen, fear is the devil's scarecrow. And it keeps us from eating the corn and the berries and everything else that a bird would eat where a scarecrow's put up. You see, he gave that excuse. I want to tell you something. Any excuse you give for not doing what the Bible said is going to be worthless at the judgment seat of Christ. I've had people tell me, Pastor, I just can't witness. Well, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means you can. Otherwise, he wouldn't have told you to do it. Amen. I'm going to stay on my ear a little while. I had people say, Pastor, I just can't be faithful to church all the time. Well, he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Amen? That's what he said. All that's going to burn up at the judgment seat of Christ. This excuse that he gave, look what the master said to him. We have the excuse, number 9, look at the rebuke. He didn't just say, oh, that's all right, sweetheart. I know I only gave you one. No, what did he say? In verse 26, his Lord answered unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. The master chides him for his wickedness, his slothfulness. It's scary, isn't it? Because I know I haven't always lived right. We're going to stand before God and give an account for our works. And God, I've said so many times, God, I want to use what you give me. Help me to do that, but I don't always do it, do I? You don't always do it either, do you? Sure. There's a rebuke from the master. But then there's some loss in verse number 28. Look at verse 28. It says, take therefore from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. And then if you go down to verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is where a lot of people think that he went to hell. I don't believe he did. I believe that the judgment seat of Christ, as we walk up with our wheelbarrows full of works, and some people are going to have a stack to the ceiling to throw into that furnace. But the furnace is going to tell whether they're gold, silver, or precious stones. And by the way, I think a lot of gold, silver, and precious stones is done behind the scenes when nobody's looking. Then there are others that are going to have wood, hay, and stubble. Brother Horsch, I'm going to have some wood, hay, and stubble. I'm probably going to have a lot. I'm a preacher. I'm in the house of God all the time. Have more opportunities than most people. I think I'm going to have some wood, hay, and stubble. Listen, that one who took the talent and buried it. The Bible says that even the wood, hay, and stubble. Christians that don't do anything are still Christians. They're saved. Job would say they're saved by the skin of their teeth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 would say they're saved yet so as by fire. It means they got nothing to give back to the Lord. For everything He gave to them, they give Him nothing. And I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, as we watch everything burn up, those that are those one talent Christians will see all the people they could have won to Christ and know that in 1,007 years, they're going to see Him again at the great white throne judgment and they're going to die and go to hell. And listen, folks, I don't know of any more frightful thing. I don't know of any more awful loss that we could suffer than to actually go to hell ourselves, which we can't because we're saved. But to see that, I believe that's what the loss that's talking about here with this servant. What do we need to learn from this parable? Every Christian is a steward. Amen? Each one of us is a steward of what God gives us. Our master gives us our abilities. He's gone away and will return. He will ask us to give a strict accounting and expects gain. Let me give you 7 ways you can apply this to your life. What are 7 areas that we're all stewards in? The first thing is, we're all stewards in our finances. The Bible talks about in Malachi how to bring ye the tithes into the storehouse. Proverbs 3:9 talks about honor the Lord with thy first fruits. Amen. The first chunk of 10 that comes out of my paycheck is not even mine. It's God's already in my mind. Amen. Listen, we're stewards of our finances. I think of our missionaries who have our business meeting tonight. We're going to talk about increasing our own missionaries and taking on a couple of new missionaries. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're stewards of that. And listen, I said it before, but if you're steward over a small amount, you're still supposed to be a good steward. If you have a larger amount of money and God blessed you, be a good steward over that. Amen. God has given us stewardship over our finances. Something else. God has given us stewardship over our opportunities. Galatians chapter 6 in verse number 10 says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. You know, God gives you opportunities to help people. God gives me opportunities to encourage people. God gives us all opportunities to witness to people and to give and to labor. God gives us these opportunities. I think so many times the reason why I miss these opportunities, I'm not looking for them. Because they're there. Somebody you'll bump into that needs a word of encouragement. We're stewards of our finances. We're stewards of our opportunities. We're stewards of our influence. We're stewards of our influence. The Bible says this, no man liveth to himself and no man dieth unto himself. Romans 14:7. What that means is I have influence. You say, well, you're the pastor. Yes, but I've learned this. Everybody has their own circle of influence. See, I don't go to your job every day. You do. You have influence there. I don't go to the restaurant that you go to every day. Maybe you have breakfast every morning somewhere. You have a circle of influence there. And we are influencing people. We influence people by where we go and where we don't go. What we do and what we don't do. What you allow and what you don't allow. You influence people. This is why one of the reasons why we have a standard for workers. In our ministry, we're talking about those that teach Sunday school and sing in the choir. We're going to dress a certain way that influences people to godliness. Amen? We want our workers to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and their Bibles every day to influence people for that. You see, we're stewards of our influences. Something else we're stewards of. We're stewards of our advantages. Advantages. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Luke chapter 12, verse 48 says that. This is like the five-talent Christian. He didn't expect him to only bring forth two, he expected him to bring forth five because he had been given much. I think of churches that have been given beautiful buildings. There are so many churches in America would love to have our building, folks. We've been given a beautiful build. We're stewards over it. Amen? We're stewards over this advantage, this place right off the highway. I think of America versus the third world. God's going to expect more out of America. In American Christians. In American churches. Because we've been given more. I think of those that have been given more wealth. God expects us. To be stewards over our advantages. God expects us to be stewards of sharing the gospel. Paul said, I'm a debtor to all men. We have right here this treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The gospel. To share it. We're stewards of that, ladies and gentlemen. We're stewards of our talents, our gifts, our lives, our abilities. Lastly, you know what really? We're stewards of our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. In verse number 19, puts it this way. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Have you ever heard somebody say, it's my life. I can do what I want with it. Not if you're saved. It's not yours. belongs to God. If you're saved, it belongs to God. You see, we're all stewards. And I say that with Vacation Bible School coming up this week. Some of you have labored beyond belief already. I think of Mrs. Rice. So many times I would leave late and she would still be here painting and tracing. And others of you, I've seen Teal here and Miss Joanne Buzzard and of course Jack and Hazel. But you know what? Over this Vacation Bible School this week, we're all stewards. We're all stewards. What are you doing this week to help a little boy or girl come to Jesus? What are you doing? Hey, some people will be doing crafts. They're using their talent to be a blessing. Some people will be jumping up and down and going crazy like me and Pastor John. That's a talent God's given us. Insanity. Amen? Insanity is a great talent from God. Others of you just be doing simple things, helping in the kitchen. Praise God. Driving the bus, Mrs. Holy. Amen? God gave Miss Holy a special talent. She's going to drive our bus this week. Brother Curry's driving. Brother Jack's driving. I'm going to drive one night. Listen, that's just something God gave to us. You know what it is? We're all sinners, amen? We're all going to have to give an account for things that be a little ashamed of. Say amen. Thank you. But I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. That'll be enough for me. Some people say, I want to hear it all. I want to be exalted. Nobody's going to be exalted in heaven but Jesus Christ. I'd like to hear you've been faithful. You were faithful with what I gave you. That's what I want to hear. How about you today? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Steward.